T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, Lonzo, let's go ahead and come back with that clip number 12.
Toss to White. He's in! Patriots win the Super Bowl! Brady has his fifth! What a comeback!
Yes, that is right, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I posted a poll last night on Twitter, and I said, this, I don't know why this cracks me up. Maybe this is the not so nice side of me. But I posted a poll last night. I said, which city has suffered more? Atlanta over the weekend, right? The Braves lost game 7 by 1 run. Georgia plays one half against Alabama, failed to come out of the locker room, and the Falcons delivered a meaningless token win, which was made all the more humiliating because that was the one team that Atlanta fans didn't want to win. No, stop winning. Trevor Lawrence is here. What are you guys doing, man? Don't win a meaningless token game. Or the city of Houston. Which city has suffered more? The Astros lost game 7, and the Texans got their heart ripped out in overtime by King Henry and the undefeated Tennessee Titans. And boy, this wasn't much of a poll. 276 votes thus far, 88% say Atlanta, and people were actually yelling at me. Man, Houston is cheater. I don't want to hear about their suffering, man. That's a bunch of cheaters. In any case, joining us right now to encapsulate the suffering of an entire city, he is one of my friends, and Michael actually said last night on social media, I don't know why, maybe I'm a jerk, but I got a kick out of this yesterday. Michael said on social media last night, I'll be on a personal social media break for a few days. This weekend of Atlanta sports has taken its toll on me, like one hurricane after another, bashing against the shores of my brain. Be good to each other, friends. Michael, appreciate you coming out of your slumber, out of your hibernation, to join us on the show today, Michael. Does this not just feel like cruel and unusual punishment at this point, given everything you and the folks in Atlanta have been through?
It really has gotten to that point where it's beyond comical. It's gone way beyond people just joking about a curse and stuff like that, to where now it's infecting the psyche of not only the fans, but I think the players and coaches too. I mean, when you look at the Braves last night, you could see in the latings of that game, the players, they were swinging for the fences. They were all gritting their teeth and trying to hit that home run to be the hero, that so that they didn't continue the curse. And it was just, you know, instead of just getting up there and playing small ball, hitting the ball, getting some base hits, scoring some runs. And I think some of it, you know, comes into play in the Georgia game too against Alabama. You know, the coaches outcoached themselves. Todd Monken outfoxed himself in the second half of that game instead of sticking with what was working.
What did you see in the second half of that game? I saw a Georgia team. The first half, Michael, looked a lot like I thought it would. I picked Georgia to win that game. I thought they were the most complete team in the SEC. I was concerned that Stetson Bennett was becoming Stetson Batted, but it, by and large, it looked like I thought it would. That all changed when they came out of the locker room.
What I saw basically was in the first half, in the first two drives, Georgia didn't run the ball at all. It was all passes, and it wound up in an interception and a three and out punt. After that, the next five drives, Georgia ran the ball for, I think, 15 different runs over the course of those drives. They got 88 yards on the ground, a couple of good passes out of the backfield to get yardage, and they scored 24 points. Those were the last 24 points they would score in that game, because once Alabama went ahead after Georgia's second drive in the second half, and they were still running the ball well at that point, Monken abandoned the run. You would have thought Georgia was down by 21 points, and there was no other way to catch up except to air the ball out. And it was just, you know, they put Stetson Bennett in a position to where
they don't have air it out personnel, though. So why would they do
that? No, they don't. I mean, they've got a couple of good receivers who eventually will be guys, you know, similar to Ruggs and some of the Alabama receivers, but they're not there yet. And especially when you were having success, they were running the ball even when Alabama was stacking the line. When Alabama said Georgia's going to run it, they were still getting positive yards, and that's what you want. You want to control the ball, and you want to control the clock against Alabama. You want to keep Mac Jones and those receivers standing on the sideline. And for whatever reason, they just stopped doing that. And as far as Stetson Bennett and his height and passes being batted down, I saw a lot of people say, well, what do you expect? The guy's 5'11". He's going to get passes batted down, blah, blah, blah. And I'll remind you that, you know, Drew Brees is 6 foot tall. He's only an inch taller than Stetson Bennett.
Russell Wilson is 5'11". How's that working out?
Exactly. You know, it's all about how they're coached. And it was obvious that the Alabama defensive linemen and linebackers were coached. As soon as they saw Bennett take a 2 to 3 step drop and cock that arm, get your hands in the air. And the Georgia coaches did nothing to coach Bennett to combat that. And we saw the outcome.
All right, so I have put together, because I'm a great friend, Michael, I have put together a list of my top 8 most heart-wrenching moments as Atlanta sports fans this millennium. And I just want your take on this. Now, we have some sound to go with a couple of these, but number 8 to me, I would say, is the game we're talking about right now, Alabama versus Georgia 2020. Came in with a lot of hope. You gave up that momentum-shifting field goal right at the end of the first half that I hated for you, that I absolutely hated, that, you know, you kind of got soft there at the end of the first half. That went in. But Alabama-Georgia 2020 makes the list because of how many losses Georgia has to Alabama. That's number 8 to me. Number 7 to me is Georgia versus Alabama in the 2012 SEC title game, which sounded like this.
Murray got it, but the clock is running. That's the one thing he didn't want to do. Game over. Alabama faces Notre Dame for the national championship in Miami.
So that's Georgia-Alabama 2012 SEC title game. I was in Atlanta at that time. Number 6, infield fly rule, outfield fly rule. St. Louis Cardinals, what is this?
Simmons, fly ball, shallow left. Back is Cosma. He'll take it. He'll call. Oh, it's going to drop. It falls. Miscommunication. And the bases are loaded, and Boggs can't believe it.
This crowd's been crazy all night. I wonder if it affected their communication.
They're calling it an infield fly rule.
Wow.
One umpire did. That's why Freddy Gonzalez is out. Well, this is a huge call here.
That was awful. That was awful. And I was in Atlanta for that as well.
Mark.
Yeah.
Mark, I feel like you've got me strapped in a chair for some sort of sadistic version of This Is Your Life here. This is terrible.
This is a 7. You remember the movie 7? I'm giving you 7 level torture here right now, Michael.
Oh, yeah.
7 level torture. Number 5 for me, Eugene Robinson in Super Bowl 32 and that whole mess, which just set the mood for the game. Number 4, Braves in 1996, the 2-0 lead in the World Series against the Yankees and a 6-0 lead in the third game of that World Series. Number 3 for me on this list of horrible Atlanta fan suffering is Braves-Dodgers last night, Game 7. one run away from the World Series. Number two, and boy, 2-1 are brutal. I mean, how do you pick between these two? Number two, 2nd and 27, Tua Tagovailoa for the touchdown in the national championship game over Georgia. And I had some people say to me, Mark, what about Georgia Tech's loss to Clemson? Georgia is Atlanta's team. Jeff Collins hopes to change that. But I live there. I saw it with my own eyes. It's like 9-1, 10-1, Georgia to Tech fans there. So I say number college football national title game is number two. Number one, Michael, Super Bowl 51. Where are you on the eight most heartbreaking moments in the city that has suffered more heartbreak than any other city?
I think that's a pretty accurate list overall. I can't think of anything really to add to that one. Those would have all made my list. I think the Super Bowl loss has to be at the top because you, as a Falcons fan and somebody who's been watching and following this team for close to five decades now, you don't know when or if the Falcons are ever going to get back to a Super Bowl or have a team that good that should have won a Super Bowl. You kind of figure that Georgia's going to get their shot to the national championship. They've had a few, they've blown a few, but you figure the Bulldogs, they're a team that can get there. With the Falcons, you're like, wow, man, that could have been the one and only window to have a Lombardi trophy there. So that one was just really painful. Plus the fact that it was the Patriots, it was Brady, it was just, there was everything just stacked on that one.
Do you think Matt Ryan or Kirby Smart have been irreparably damaged? Kirby Smart from the Alabama experience. Nick Saban now 22-0 against his former assistants. And Matt Ryan from the Super Bowl 51 experience. It is either irreparably damaged. Have you seen any permanent neurological damage that cannot be overcome?
I don't see it in Kirby Smart. He's still so young in his head coaching career. And he worked for Nick Saban for so long. He knows. He knows what the guy can do. He knows what it's like to try to beat Alabama. He's run into some bad luck. He's made a few coaching mistakes, but he'll learn. I don't think he has that kind of psyche. Matt Ryan, I think that the Super Bowl loss might have dinged him a bit. I think most of Matt Ryan's damage to his psyche and his psychological state as a player just comes from the fact that, you know, he's playing for a team that he has a lot of loyalty to and that he's done a lot for this franchise, who seems to do everything they can to undermine his abilities and what he can do. You know, you've had bad coaches, bad general managers, bad draft picks. You've done everything. You know, how many different offensive coordinators can a guy have in his career? It's insane. And I think that alone is probably caused him to say, what am I supposed to do? I mean, he's in the twilight of his career. If the Falcons don't hire a young, exciting, offensive-minded coach who's innovative, who doesn't make Ryan stand in the pocket like a statue, who can, you know, somebody like Joe Brady, who can bring Ryan, the best out of Ryan in the twilight of his career, he's never going to win it.
I'm glad you gave us a name there. I was going to ask you for a name. I mean, people thought he was too young to be a coordinator, and you're saying, hey, let's make him a head coach immediately. That's kind of surprising.
Why not? I mean, that's the trend.
I would say Cliff Kingsbury fits that mold, and I didn't think he earned a head coaching job in the NFL from anything that I saw at Texas Tech.
No, and I think, you know, you've got McVay fits that mold, and I think the NFL has now moved to the old adage of strong defense and run the ball wins you championships. You're not going to see that anymore. Now you have to have an innovative offensive mind who spreads the ball out, not run and gun, not fun and gun or, you know, any of that stuff, but who has a balance that's going to win championships. Yes, you got to play defense, but if all you're going to do is have your quarterback drop back in the pocket and try to run the ball up the gut, you're not going to win.
Let's close with the million-dollar question, Michael. Who is the team? What Atlanta-based team is the one to end the suffering for the entire city?
I have to go, at this point, despite last night's results or the last three nights' results, I have to go with the Braves.
So you think the Braves win a World Series before Georgia wins a national championship?
I think so, simply because they really, in all honesty, weren't even supposed to be there last night. You're talking about a team that lost four of their five starting pitchers at the start of the season, including their ace. You're talking about one of the youngest teams in baseball. They were up against the best team in the National League, arguably the best team in baseball, with half of their payroll, where the Dodgers have $220 million in payroll, and I think the Braves have around $90 to $95 million. So really, they were overachieving, and that's a young team that's going to continue to get better. They sign the right players, keep developing the pitching, they're going to win a World Series very quickly.
You look at the young core of the Atlanta Braves, and it is impossible not to be incredibly impressed with what they have. Michael says it. Michael's call. The Braves are the team that ends the suffering for the city of Atlanta. Michael, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you emerging from your slumber, groggy-eyed and seemingly under the influence to join us on the show today, man. I really appreciate it. I apologize for all of your suffering. And I just love the fact that you keep coming at it, man. I you just get after it, man, despite everything you've been through. I love that, man. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Mark.
You got it. All right, Michael Collins at MC Fansided, the senior writer for Fansided Sports. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.